Let's dive into the word. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. God bless you on the West Auditorium. We see you over there. God bless you. Luke chapter 8, we're going to be looking at verses 16 through 18. And Father, we are grateful again that we can sit at your feet and learn from you. So Lord, speak to our hearts. Give us a timely word that we need to hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Luke 8. Looking at verses 16 through 18, the title of this message is, Do You Hear What I Hear? Do you hear what I hear? Many people today claim to hear from God, but in actuality, they only hear what they want to hear. I say this because God is always trying to speak to us, but we aren't always listening. Even in marriages, this is true as well. As husbands, we only hear what we want to hear. And this is why communication is one of the biggest problems in marriages today. In Mark chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus, he says, take heed what you hear. And in these verses, he's going to say, take heed how you hear. In both of these statements, it is referring to hearing the word of God. See, the word of God, God wants his word to fall on good soil so it can bear fruit in our lives, like verse 15 talked about, like we dealt with last week. God wants the word of God to take root in our lives and transform us into the image of Jesus Christ. But we need to hear what he is saying to us. So often we allow things in our lives to clog up our ears and keep us from hearing what God is trying to say to us. And in these verses, we're going to see some of the things we allow in our own lives to clog up our ears to keep us from hearing what God has to say to us. Look what it says in verse 16. Jesus speaking, it says, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it and with a vessel puts it under a bed, but sets it out on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. Now, in John 8:12, Jesus is called the light of the world. And seeing that we're followers of Jesus, he calls us to be lights in the world. Matthew 5:14. The implication is that the world is dark. And so Jesus wants us to expose what is going on by shining the light of Jesus everywhere we go. But what good is a light if it's covered up? What good is a light if you put it under your bed? The purpose of the light is to set it up in such a way to provide light to everyone who comes into the room. And this is what we're called to be in this dark world that we're living in. We're called to be lights everywhere we go. But what we find is a lot of Christians hiding their lights. Why is that? I believe there are four reasons. Number one, the fear of offending others. Fear of offending others. There are a lot of believers afraid that someone may be offended by the message of Jesus Christ. In our politically correct, tolerant world we live in, this is a major reason why a lot of Christians are hiding their lamps and their lights. But Jesus taught us that everyone is not going to receive the message about him, and we need to be okay with that. I understand that it is the greatest message this world could ever hear, that they can be forgiven of all of their sins, past, present, and future, through what Jesus Christ accomplished on Calvary's cross. No longer do they have to carry the weight and the guilt of their sin. They can be forgiven. This is the greatest message this world could ever hear. But not everybody is going to hear this message and going to receive it. Acts 17, verse 32, after Paul gave a sermon in Athens, Greece, it says, when they heard the message about the resurrection of Jesus, some mocked, while others said, we will hear you again on this matter, which speaks of procrastination or I'm not ready. And then verse 34 says, some believe. These are the three responses that people will give when they come face to face with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When the gospel of Jesus Christ is going forth, these three responses are always present. And I believe these three responses are going to be present even here today. When you come face to face with the gospel, you're going to have some, A, you're going to have some that's going to mock. They're going to mock. They're going to mock Jesus, mock the Bible, and mock you for bringing the gospel to them. They're going to mock. And some will say, oh, well, B, I will hear you later. Not now. I don't have time for this Jesus stuff. Committing my life to him. Hey, guess what? This person is present too here. And then you're going to have C. You're going to have some that will believe. The ones who believe are the ones you need to focus on. They are the ones you want to look for. Don't get discouraged over the ones that mock the message of Jesus Christ, that says, you know, or even the one that says not now. But be excited over the ones who believe. And you know what? For those of you who are afraid to share and you're not sure what to share, this is what our School of Evangelism is for. To train you and equip you to be able to share the word of God to people and to get over some of the fears you may have. So the first reason why people, you know, hide their lights is, number one, fear of offending others. This is a major reason why people do it. But you know what? Guess what? You also have number two, you have those who are indifferent. The reason why some people don't share, because they're indifferent. Many believers can care less about lost people. Their hearts have grown cold. They forgot that at one time they were lost as well. These believers have gotten so wrapped up in their life and their problems and their situation that they are now indifferent. This is a sign that we're far from God ourselves, because lost people are close to the heart of God. Luke 19 verse 10, Jesus came, tells us why he came. He came to seek and to save the lost. How do we find ourselves in this condition where we just indifferent? We just don't care about people lost, people far from God. How is it that we find ourselves in this condition? I believe number three answers this question. The third reason why people hide their light is because of lovelessness, lovelessness. Many believers hide their lights and cannot hear God speak to them because they have grown cold in their love for Jesus. This is what happened to the believers in Ephesus that Jesus addressed in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. He told them that they had left their first love, which was Jesus. What he was saying is that I used to be everything to you. I consumed your every thought. Everything you did, you thought about, oh, what would Jesus do in this situation? Now other things or people has occupied your thoughts. Put a spiritual thermometer in your own mouth and tell me how hot or on fire you are for Jesus Christ. See, this is something that we have to do in our own lives. And you have to ask yourself, have you grown cold in your love for Jesus? Look at where you are now and look at where you were when you first accepted him. Is the temperature still boiling for him? Are you still on fire hot? Or have you allowed things to just kind of get cold? Jesus calls this leaving your first love. This is what he called it, leaving your first love. He is saying something or someone else has your heart, and it used to be me. Does this describe us this morning? Have we left our first love, who is Jesus? A sign that we have is that we will hide our lights. We will lose our passion for the lost, and we don't hear God speaking to us. So number one, the fear of offending others. Number two, indifference. Number three, lovelessness can cause us to hide our lights. And number four, worldliness. Worldliness. We experience an eclipse in our lives. You say, what do you mean? What are you talking about? See, an eclipse occurs when the earth gets in between the sun and the moon. See, the moon doesn't have its own light. It reflects the light of the sun. And so too, as believers, we're like the moon. We don't have any light in and of ourselves. We are called to reflect the light of the sun, S-O-N, Jesus Christ. But when the earth gets in between the sun, Jesus, and the moon, us, there's an eclipse. And this is one reason why a lot of believers hide their lights, because the earth or the world is in the way. You've allowed the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things to eclipse you and to eclipse you from reflecting the light of the sun, Jesus. It is seen in our attitudes. It's seen in our tempers. It's the way we treat people is seen. Let us examine our own lives. When was the last time we cared to talk to someone about Jesus? Maybe, just maybe, our lives are experiencing an eclipse. It's one reason why we don't care to talk to people about Jesus. We've allowed the cares or worries of this world, bills and work and overtime and family issues. Or maybe it's the deceitfulness of riches, which is the desire or lust to get more. Or the mindset that says, if I have more money, then I will be happy. Or maybe it's just a desire of other things. Hobbies and working out, recreation and leisure has gotten in the way. And you know and I know these things aren't wrong per se, but they can cause an eclipse in our lives and cause us to hide our lights and clog up our ears from hearing the voice of the Lord. And I've seen this happen in so many people's lives. They were so on fire. They were so excited about the Lord. And they were like, you know, whoa, yes, I'm there. And when the doors are open, you know, I've never heard the word taught like this. The doors, I'm there, you know. And then all of a sudden, the cares and worries of this world. Where have you been? Well, you know, just been working and, you know, got issues going on at home. And maybe it's not the cares, it's the, you know, maybe just it's the deceitfulness of riches. You know, we want to go on this trip and we just working extra and, you know, and Christmas is around the corner and we got work and maybe it's not that. Maybe it's just the desire for other things. You know, I made a resolution. I was going to work out. I've been focused on working out and that's why you haven't seen me much lately. But, you know, these things aren't wrong per se, but these things can cause us to experience an eclipse in our lives, where the world has gotten in between us and the sun, S-O-N. And I've seen this happen in so many people's lives. I believe it's happening here in many of your lives as well, because when you put that spiritual thermometer in your own mouth, all of a sudden it didn't go up like it used to. Kind of stayed low. Because your passion for Jesus isn't there like it used to be. And I've just seen this happen. You're like, what's wrong? What's going on? What's happening in my life? It's because you've allowed the desire for other things, the desire to get married. So all you focus on is relationship, relationship, relationship. And that didn't work. And then that one, every time we look, you're coming in with somebody different. That's your focus. But then when you put that thermometer in your mouth and wondering why it's not going all the way up. Because you're just getting married, we know that's not wrong. Being in a relationship, that's not wrong per se. But has it caused an eclipse in your life? And I've seen this happen so many times. And then when that relationship busts up, then we don't see them. We don't see you. And then the next time we see you, you're dragging somebody else in. And it's just a desire for other things. And wondering why you're not reflecting Jesus like you once did. Wondering why you're not hearing from the Lord. Why I keep making these mistakes? Why I keep picking these kind of people? Why I keep doing this? And wondering why? Because that sort of stuff can clog our ears up from hearing from the Lord. The Lord will say, no, don't you dare. You better not go on another date with them. But when you seeking that stuff that's eclipse your life, it clogs up your ears and you can't hear and you keep picking these same knuckleheads and wondering why. These things can cause an eclipse in our lives. Look at verse 17. Look what he says there. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known or come to light. Jesus is saying that light has a way of exposing dark, secret, and hidden things. John 3:19 says, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. I love what David said in Psalm 19 verse 12. It's not on the screen. Psalm 19 verse 12, he says, cleanse me from secret faults. Being in the light has a way of exposing dark and secret and hidden things. Jesus is saying that we need to let our light shine because there are people in darkness and they don't know which way to go, and we need to turn the light on for them. Why? So they can see their way to Jesus. Like someone did for us. See, this is why we need to turn the light on for people, because they are lost in darkness, trying to feel their way around. It's like this. It's like the world. You don't see this, but when you see with your spiritual eyes, you can see that people are in dark. This world, they're in dark, and they're feeling the way. They're trying to feel their way around. They're tripping on things, and they're stubbing their toe on stuff, and they're just trying to feel their way in the darkness. That's what they're doing. They're trying to drive the car of life in darkness and wondering why they're crashing into things and hurting themselves and other people, because they're trying to drive in this pitch dark. And they don't know where they're going, and they just driving, crashing, hurting themselves through drunk driving, drinking and driving. They just driving this car of life, and they're making a wreck out of things. Until we turn the light switch on for them. And as they're groping around trying to find their way, we as Christians, we're in the light. We just, whoa, watch out now. When all the time, we should be turning the light switch on for them. They may get angry with you and mock you and try to turn the light back off because what they're doing is not right and they don't want it to be exposed. But keep in mind that there will be those who believe and will be thankful that you turned the light on for them. These are the ones that we are seeking after. We have to keep in mind that we were in darkness until someone turned the light on for us. I was in the darkness of my sin and in the darkness of religion. You say, well, what do you mean by the darkness of religion? I was deceived into thinking, because my parents made me go to church every Sunday. And when I was growing up, and I went forward to be baptized, sat in a chair, you know, when I was 13 years old, that I was on my way to heaven. It was not until I was in the Marine Corps and went to Okinawa, Japan, when a fellow Marine turned the light on for me. He shared Jesus with me and how he died on the cross for my sin and was buried and rose again. And I would just give my classic answer when someone came to me like that, my classic answer to get people like him off my back. I would just say, oh, I've been baptized. And my parents made me go to church every Sunday. And he said, I didn't ask you whether you went to church or where you were baptized. I asked, have you ever repented of your sin and accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Click, the light switch came on, and I saw I was a sinner in need of a Savior. And right there in that barracks, I got on my knees and repented of my sin and accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. That was August 26, 1985. There are some of you here today that need the same light turned on for you. Like me, you were raised religious, but you've never repented of your sin and accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Today, your light switch has been turned on for you, like it was for me back in 1985. See, this is a sign. This is the sign right here that you need this switch turned on. This is a sign. You tell people, I've been a Christian my whole life. Let me tell you something. No one is a Christian their whole life. You've gone to church your whole life, but no one is a Christian their whole life. You have to understand, you have to repent of your sin, accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. When that happens, that's what I'm asking. Have you repented, accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? If so, what day? When was that? Because when Jesus comes into a person's life, oh, you know it. You know the time and the day, the moment that he made you from an old person to a new person. You know the time. That's why I said it was August 26, 1985. I'll never forget the day. Never forget the day that the light switch, boom, was turned on for me. Oh, yeah, I went forward to sit in some chair when I was 13 to get baptized that following Sunday. I was a dry devil, came up a wet devil. I was the same devil. Matter of fact, I turned sin up a little bit more after I got baptized until I really accepted Christ when I was 19. I was just playing the game. You know, my friends did it the week before. They said, come on up, come on up. I said, no, I ain't coming up there. And then I did it by myself the next week. I ain't gonna let my friends outdo me. I wasn't sorry for no sin. I just was told, come on up and sit in a chair and get baptized. And the lady came up with a yellow tab and took our names down and told her we were gonna be baptized next week. I said, okay. Did it. I turned sin up a little bit from 13 until I accepted Christ when I was 19. Oh, turned it up, going for it, until the light switch came on, boom, in Okinawa, Japan. And that Marine, never forget Smitty, nailed me. He said, I didn't ask whether you went to church and whether you've been baptized. He said, that's not what I asked. Have you repented of your sin and accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? I said, no. No, I've never done that. And I got on my knees in that barracks. I can still see the scene right now in that barracks. And I repented of my sin, accepted Christ. Some of you need that light switch turned on for you, because you need to exchange your churchianity for Christianity. You've gone to church your whole life and you think because you have, you're a Christian. You're not a Christian until you repent of your sin, and you'll know the day you did it. You'll know the day. Oh, you would know the day. Well, I've just been one my whole life. Stop telling people that. Stop. We're not born Christians. We're born sinners. Not Christians. You don't come out the womb to Christian. Oh, I don't know. My precious little baby's an angel. Let me tell you something. You don't give that little baby milk, that little baby will fall out. Show you that they are sinner through and through. Yeah. Then they get a little older. It comes out. It comes out. That's not an angel. I know you think they are little angels. No. No. That's a little sinner. Need that pamper tapped a couple of times. Pat, pat. Cut that out. Just cut up on you. When you accept Christ, you know it. You know it. Look at verse 18. Therefore, take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. We need to be careful how we hear the word of God, because if we receive the word of God with meekness, then more will be given to us. See, to whom much is given, much is required. In other words, the more we know, the more we will be accountable for. And this is not to scare us away from hearing the word of God, but just letting us know that we are accountable to God for what we know from his word. Make sure that what little bit we know, we're using it and not hiding it. You know, this goes for America as well. We are accountable for what we know. Here in our country, where there are over 300,000 churches, Bible bookstores, Christian radio, TV, almost a church on every corner, We will be judged harsher than any other nation. Why? To whom much is given, much is required. As you've heard me say many times, God judges a nation now. He judges people later. He judges a nation now in this life. And he judges nations through natural catastrophes. Every time I say this, our country goes through some natural catastrophe. I remember last time I mentioned this and something broke off and folks on Facebook, Pastor Tony, you remember you just said that it's just what it is. God judges nations now. So to whom much is given, much is required. Now, there are many people who want to do great things for God, but are not faithful in the small things. Many people want to do great things for God, but don't want to help out in the nursery. This is why we're taught in ministry in Calvary Chapels, the major test for a person who says that they're called to ministry is, are you willing to serve in the small areas like the children's ministry? You heard me say before, I remember my pastor asked me when I was on staff in California, he said, I need you to oversee the children's ministry. I said, okay, I do it. It was 80 to 120 teachers and helpers and 300 to 500 kids at the time. And I had to teach children's church. And so there were 3-year-olds in the front all the way up to third grade. And, you know, I told you I had the little puppet and, you know, hey, kids, hey, how are you? You know, and I learned how to do the different voices and stuff. That's why I learned all that stuff from when I was doing children's church. Honed in all those skills and stuff doing children's church, because if you can break the word of God down for 3-year-olds to get it and not lose the third graders in the back. Oh, see now you're honing in on those skills. See, so many people, yeah, I'm called to ministry. I substitute for you, the next time you're gone. Really? You think I'm gonna put you for these folks? There are some 2-year-olds that love to hear Jesus loved them. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. You know, and they got questions that will just have you scratching your head, keep you up late at night. But if you can be back there and break the word of God down for them, oh, you can teach anybody. Are you willing to be faithful in the small things, in the small areas? Are you taking heed how you hear the word of God? Meaning, are you applying and obeying the word that you're hearing? If your answer is no, then don't expect more to be given to you. This means don't expect God to give you more ministry or more responsibility. But if you're seeking to obey the word you hear or read, then God will give you more ministry, more responsibility, more things to do for his kingdom and for his glory. If you're faithful in the little things, God will give you more. Let me conclude with this. God is saying to us, do you hear what I hear? Are we hearing what God is saying to us? He is saying that we need to let our light shine and not to allow an eclipse to occur in our lives. What did God show you is your eclipse that is keeping you from shining the light of Jesus Christ or hearing what he is trying to say to you? Whatever it is, remove it or them. Or maybe you're here and you've allowed the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things, the pleasures of life, to clog your ears from hearing what God is saying to you. He wants to speak to us and guide our lives, but we must rid our lives of these things. We have to. Finally, maybe the reason we can't hear what Jesus is saying to us is because we left our first love. We have allowed other things or people to rob us of our passion for him. The solution is Revelation 2:5. It says, remember therefore where you have fallen, repent and do your first works. In other words, that can be broken down into 3 R's. Remember, repent, and return. Remember where you have fallen. Repent of that and return back to those things that you know you were doing when you were on fire for Jesus. Some people need to hear this today, because you came here with an eclipse going on in your life. You came here with your ears clogged up. And there are things that you have allowed to clog up your ears to keep you from hearing from the Lord. And there are some of you that need to repent and get that right with the Lord. Some of you need the religious light, boom, turned on. Because you have boasted in the fact that all because you have gone to church your whole life, that you are okay. And you can see now, you are not okay. Because you know the time that Jesus has come into your life. You know the day. You can see it in your mind's eye. Like I can, even now, I can still see that moment. And you need to repent and really accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. There's going to be some people available to pray with you. And so when the worship team comes up, you make your way forward. Let them pray with you and for you about these things that God has spoken to your heart about. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your loving kindness and tender mercies. Thank you for your grace that abounds toward us. Lord, thank you that you share these things with us because you love us. And so, Lord, I pray now, Lord, that you would just show us those things that we have allowed to eclipse our lives. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would give us the courage to rid our lives of these things or people. Help us, Lord. We want to do your will. We want to be faithful in what is least. Lord, help us to unclog our ears to hear your voice speaking to us. To hear you speak to us through your word. Your primary way that you speak to us is through your word. So Lord, help us to have ears to hear what you're going to say to us today. In Jesus' name. Amen.